Please rise as you are able in body or spirit and join in the opening words. This is the day that God has made. Enter into God's gates with thanksgiving. Blessed be the name of God. From the rising of the sun to its setting, it is good to give God thanks.
Let us pray. Come, O Creator, O immensity of love, O eternity of mercy, come and be with us and in us and beside us and over us. Be as warmth within us and fire us for caring. Be as strength beside us and shape our lives for healing. Abide in our prayers, the spoken and the unspoken, and make your word come true in our flesh. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. We celebrate at this time of year the coming of the Prince of Peace, a light in our very midst. If you would now turn to your neighbors and greet one another with a sign of the peace of Christ. Thank you.
On this day, January 6th, in the year 1412, Joan of Arc was born. On this day, in the year 1773, Massachusetts slaves petitioned our legislature for freedom. And on this day, in 1832, New England Anti-Slavery Society was organized right here in Boston. And it's on this day, January 6th of 2019, here and all around the world, that Christians celebrate the gifts of the Magi, the wise men or astrologers, the gifts they bring to Jesus, precious gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and not least, the gift of the journey they undertake to find the child, the gift of their time, their trouble, their travel, and finally the gift of their homage, their reverence, of worship. And on this day, January 6, 2019, here at Old South Church in Boston, we embark upon our own journey of gift-giving and reverence for the child born of Mary, and for the church that ministers to the world in his name. Today we launch a season of financial stewardship, a season of discerning and deciding, praying, pondering the financial gifts that each of us will surrender to this child who is Prince of Peace. And today we welcome to the pulpit Old South members Sarah Monsma Billings and Randy Billings, who will be our Magi today, who will share something of why they made and make this journey of surrender and gift giving. While they have held various leadership positions in the life of our church over many, many years, today Randy serves as the chair of the Board of Trustees and Sarah serves on our Tell the Story Task Force of the 350th Anniversary Committee. So greetings to one and all. Welcome to Old South Church, a church and a people committed to following the star that leads to the Christ child and all that he gives and all that he asks. Friends, the announcements are listed in the white insert in your bulletin. There are many ways of participating in our common life together as an urban church engaged in the city. Service, book groups, all kinds of things. Today at 12:30, you can join the Climate Change Task Force of this church for a work session on their plans going forward. Also today, we extend a warm welcome to our interim associate minister. I think she's behind the choir, but she's really there. The Reverend Catherine Schofield, welcome, Catherine. She started work here on Wednesday, so she's pretty new, and I know you'll give her a warm welcome when you see her. She didn't get the memo about the black minister robe, so she's the one in the white robe today. Take a minute to sign the friendship pad. There should be one at the aisle end of every pew. If you write enough, we will write you back. My friends, this is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Yeah. comes from Matthew's Gospel, the second chapter, beginning at the first verse. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising, and we've come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go, search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid homage to him. They opened their treasure chests and offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is a reading from the Word of God.
Thank you. In 1980, when my two older brothers were in college, my parents and I moved to Boston from Poughkeepsie, New York. I was 13 and delighted with the prospect of living in the city. We rented an apartment near Symphony Hall, and I could walk or take the T anywhere I wanted to go. Heaven. Although finding the grocery store, the hardware store, the post office, and a fabulous Thai restaurant required little work, they were all within our block. Finding a church was a task we had to work at. I don't remember how many churches we visited, but I do remember that the decision of where we would attend was made as a family. I remember that one church was installing a new minister of music the Sunday we attended. We watched with wide eyes as said new minister left the sanctuary during the service and returned a few minutes later with a coffee in a paper cup, which he blew on and sipped from through the rest of the service. I remember that the conservatism of another church left us distinctly uncomfortable. Finally, I remember coming to Old South. I remember how Jim Crawford's amazing sermon and the fabulous music told us that we had found our new church home. Over time, this congregation has become our larger family.
For me, Old South is my first church home, my first spiritual home. This continues to be a blessed and an amazing notion to me. In my childhood, I attended three different Boston area churches. I was baptized at one, I attended church school at a couple of them, and sang in a youth choir at a third. But I found neither a sense of spirituality nor a sense of home in those places. Now, I had people in my life who were wonderful role models, to be sure, but none who were grounded in a Christian faith. Others in my early life who did profess a Christian faith were anything but role models or ambassadors of a loving God. And so by my preteen years, I had turned away from organized Christianity. So what brought me to Old South? It was the faith, love, and gentle encouragement of Sarah's parents, Jim and Jan Monsma, who welcomed me not only to their family, but introduced me to the Old South family. To them, I will be forever grateful. At Old South, I was welcomed into a home filled with people at all stages of their faith journey, those who had traveled long and whose faith was sure, and those who, like me, were just setting foot to path. And what a wonderful home it has been. In 1991, we were married here. Our children were baptized here. And we've been blessed to share and receive the love and support of this community, our church family.
But Nancy and the stewardship committee didn't actually ask us here to reminisce about our early days at Old South. They asked us to speak to you today because it's the time of year to consider what we will give to Old South in 2019. As members of the church, we take seriously our responsibility to give of our time, talent, and treasure to help sustain our community. Having just passed the new year, I'm sure we're not the only ones who are somewhat weary of calls for financial support from one organization or another. In the week between Christmas and New Year, I received 25 solicitation emails. 25 emails from organizations we believe in, organizations that do good work in the Boston community and around the world, organizations that provide food, shelter, medical care, clothing, help for prisoners and immigrants. They're all organizations that we would like to support, but 25? All that need can be overwhelming. Sometimes the Bible seems to add its own pressure. In the book of Matthew, Jesus bids us to feed the hungry, give the thirsty a drink, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, visit the sick and the prisoners. And then, of course, there's the part about giving anyone money who asks for it, giving your coat and your shirt too, and giving up all material goods to follow him. How can we possibly find the money and the time to do all that? Being a Christian is no small task. It's a daunting responsibility to live up to the expectations of the child of God. Sometimes the pressure of it feels like reason enough to just climb into bed and shut out the world. But we don't, at least not most Sundays. Instead, we come to church because when we are here with our church family, we know we are not alone in trying to meet Jesus' expectations of us. We are encouraged and strengthened to work for what we believe in. And here with our church family, we don't have to meet every expectation on our own. We take comfort in the knowledge that as a church family, we work together toward Christ's mandate. Large donations and small are combined to do great work in our city and around the world. Greeters are here every Sunday to greet strangers and members on the street and at the door and inside, too. Old South members visit and deliver meals to the sick and the homeless and give away coats and clothing. Through the prison book program and demonstrations at the ICE detention center, we minister to prisoners. This fine building provides shelter and respite to any who need it, and a staff that to keep everything going, to teach and inspire us. And there's so much more. We do our part, and so do you. Together, we can do amazing things. So although the needs of this world can be overwhelming, and as Christians, we must do what we can to live out Christ's mandate, we don't have to do it alone. Instead, we can do it together, as a family. Today, we bid you to think prayerfully about what you can give of your time, talent, and treasure in 2019, and pledge that we will join with you to give and to do Christ's work on earth.
We'd like to close with a prayer by Howard Thurman. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. Amen.
Thank you. be with you. May the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts.
Christ is our peace, our light, and our hope.
Let us pray. Oh, most loving God, oh God of the ages and time and eternity, as we stand, as we look forward to the beginning, the dawn of a new year, we look back at the year we have lived, at what has been. Help us with honesty understand the lives we have lived, not that we might be bowed down with shame, but that in knowing ourselves fully, we might be lifted up by the fullness of your grace. You, O God, who are ever more ready to forgive than we are ready to even ask for forgiveness. As we consider the year that is to come, we confess that we look ahead with a mixture of excitement and apprehension to live in historic days, O God. It is humbling. We pray that in this year you would strengthen us, that you would make us faithful, that in all that we would do, we would ask not what is wise or even what is best, but rather, what would you have us do, O God? Help us to keep this question ever at our lips, ever before us, O God, that in following you, we might live a life beyond our imagination, that we might be part of building a world too wonderful to be known outside of prophets' ecstasies and promises from long ago. Help us. Help us live as you would have us, O God. We hold in deep care. We hold in deep love those members of the church who are in need of healing. Maddie, Stan, Kathy and Rich, Neil, Don, Jared, Chuck. We pray too, O God, for comfort to Eleanor, Alice, Janice, David, Virginia, Barbara. And we pray to, O God, alongside those who abide with you in highest heaven, Benjamin, Douglas. O Lord, there are prayers that we would offer, prayers that we would speak aloud if there were but words deep enough to hold our need to be known by you. And so, O God, in these quiet moments, draw close and listen to these prayers of your people offered in the silence of our hearts. God, when we do not know how else to pray, when our words have come to an end and our silences moved full round back to speaking. We are grateful to always be able to pray and pray rightly in your sight. That prayer which your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father,
hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Good at Greek. I have studied 5 years of Greek and was at the end of my studies, at the height of my powers, perhaps as good as those who had taken about a semester or so. But even so, I can tell you enough about this passage from Matthew to say that there were not three kings there. Not at all. It doesn't say that. It says that there were magoi, which means something like magicians, which could be any number, more than one, certainly, but it doesn't say that there are three. There are three gifts, that's true. But it does not say that there were three kings. There were multiple people who were wise. It doesn't say that there were men either, by the way. Magoi, meaning the masculine plural, can be a group either of all men or of mixed genders, and it tells you a lot about who has interpreted this in the past, that it's assumed to be a group of men who is composed of the wise, but moving on. These magicians, it doesn't say that there were three. There could have been 100. There could have been 1,000. It could have taken them days to present their gifts one by one. It could have taken months, centuries, millennia for the wise ones of God to bring what was deserved to the Holy One of Israel. The morning's offering will be given and received.
Come out of Jacob.
us pray. Gracious God, source of light and life, all that we are and all that we have come from you. And we return this portion to you, this little light, that it may be magnified and multiplied throughout the world to do your will. In the name of your love and mercy. Amen.
Thank you.
I was earlier thwarted in introducing to you our new interim associate minister, but now you can see her. So say welcome to Catherine. May God shine upon us and be gracious to us. May God give us grace to risk something big for something good. Grace to acknowledge the world is too dangerous for anything but truth and way too small for anything but love. So may God take our minds and think through them. May God take our lips and speak through them. May God take our hearts and set them on fire. And the blessing of Almighty God, our Creator, Christ, our brother and Savior, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and every day, and let the whole church say,
Amen.